Flipping through this month's issue of National Geographic, one of the photographs jumped out at us. Two men lying dazed on the floor of a hut in Afghanistan, smoking opium, their young daughter sitting right with them. One of the men is quoted saying, "My whole family is addicted, but so are the mice and the snakes." The mice and the snakes, and in fact, half of the 1,800 people in this village, addicted to opium. The story is a window into the problem that we've talked about, the economic and cultural influence of the opium trade in Afghanistan. In some cases, it's the basis for a town's economy, if the Taliban is in the area and funding their operations with the trade, or even if they're not. The pictures in the National Geographic article were taken by David Guttenfelder, the article written by Robert Draper. There's a link at hereandnow.org. As Robert Draper joins us from the Christian Science Monitor studios in Washington, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
Well, another picture that just brought tears, actually, was you see the Afghan army slashing through another poppy crop as a mother and her young children cower nearby, crying. This is her only income. She says her husband was killed by insurgents. Just give us a thumbnail. What's the status of sort of the war on drugs in Afghanistan?
Well, the thumbnail sketch is we're not winning it. I'm not saying necessarily that we're losing it, but drugs, or rather the cultivation of poppy and thus the production of opium, is a pretty entrenched thing in Afghanistan for the simple reason that it's the only way that people can make a living. 85% of those who work in Afghanistan are farmers, and the predominant cash crop is poppy. In fact, there are two competing revenue streams in Afghanistan as a whole, and I mean literally competing. One of them is aid from the West that we send to Afghanistan in hopes that they will, that we can move their hearts and minds away from the Taliban. The other revenue stream is the cultivation of poppy and production of opium, which is in turn used by the Taliban to fund their activities.
Right. And, you know, you can hardly blame poor farmers when they get so much more money for the poppy than they do for other crops that the U.S. is trying to get them to grow. But is it really true that there's so much of it that even animals are addicted?
Yeah, so you referred earlier, Robin, to the photograph that David took in the village of Sarab in Yamgun district in Badakhshan province, which is up in the north. Gorgeous area, but this is a very isolated village, a village essentially of addicts. And when David and I were in this room with these two men who are addicted to opium, as you referenced, there were two little girls who started gravitating towards the men. We asked, you know, what's going on? Are they addicted to it? And they said, absolutely, they're addicted. The mice, the snakes, everything here is addicted. It's all there is, and the waft of the opium smoke just sort of has a grip over every living thing in that village.
Well, but in other places, you describe how they use the poppy crop. They take this sort of paste from the bulb and then make it into bricks of opium, and it can pay for all the food a farmer's family will need. They can keep it aside for a while until the market price goes up. I mean,
sure.
It's a wonderful product.
It's a very versatile crop. I mean, not only on its own terms as opium, as you said, Robin, I mean, it can be stored indefinitely, unlike, say, cotton or wheat. It has a very short growing season, doesn't require a lot of expertise. You just scatter seeds on the ground. It doesn't require irrigation. Rainfall will do. But in addition to opium, the rest of the plant can be used as well. The seeds can be used for oil. The stalks can be used for firewood. You can actually process the poppy down to make soap out of it, and many of these villagers do. So it's an enormously useful crop, even before you get to the fact that you can make many times more selling opium than you can selling any other crop. Though I should hasten to say, these are subsistence farmers. None of them is getting rich off of this, but this is the only market that really they've got available in Afghanistan.
Right. Well, and you remind us it wasn't always this way, that Afghanistan's had a roller coaster relationship with opium, that only in the mid-20th century did the country become an exporter. And then at the request of the UN, the king halted cultivation in 1946. Mm-hmm. Afghan farmers were known for almonds, cotton, grapes, pomegranates. But the Soviet invasion changed everything. How so?
Two or three ways. One is that the Soviets deliberately shut down certain markets that Afghanistan had because they favored other members of the Soviet bloc, like Uzbekistan for cotton, for example. Also, in all of the warring that took place during the Soviet occupation and the fighting by the Mujahideen, a lot of infrastructure was destroyed, like silos, processing centers, roads. And in the meantime, while this was going on, its neighboring countries, that Afghanistan farmers used to sell its pomegranates and almonds and pistachios to, began to develop those kinds of things themselves, and at the same time to renounce the cultivation of poppy and the production of opium themselves. So what happened was that after the Soviets finally were chased out of Afghanistan, farmers in Afghanistan realized two things. First, they had no place to sell their legitimate goods, but secondly, now there was a void, a market vacuum that drug lords were trying to locate where poppy could in fact be cultivated, since India and Pakistan weren't doing it anymore. And since a black market flourishes, particularly with an unstable government, Afghanistan was a likely candidate.
Well, and the Taliban saw drugs as a way to fund their insurgency, as we said. So what's happening? We see these pictures of Afghan policemen flattening these poppy fields, but we also know that there's corruption in the government. So are they also maybe on the take? We see these children weeping. You know, does anyone come in and help them have another income after the poppy field's gone? And we see the addicted men with their daughters. Is anyone trying to treat them?
Yes, there's Western aid, of course, an attempt to wean farmers off of poppy, provide them with alternative seeds, other crops, fertilizers, and the like. That in particular has been taking place right now in Helmand Province, where the Marines are and where most of the poppy these days is grown. Where those photographs that you were referring to regarding the eradication were taken is in Badakhshan Province, where, for the most part, the efforts to eradicate these crops have been successful. But two things. First of all, the farmers there have not been getting the alternative seeds, et cetera, that NGOs and various Western groups have promised, in large part due to corruption from the Afghan government, that basically it's ending up in the wrong pockets. And secondly, even in the best of circumstances, which would be, say, in Nangarhar province to the east, where a flooding of the zone of Western aid has resulted in a virtual elimination of poppy, the farmers there are only making about 60% with these alternatives that they were before. So they're for now hopeful that things will get better, that they'll begin to make the kind of money that they made growing poppy, but it's by no means certain.
And Robert, one of the pictures shows some Afghan men in a drug addiction treatment center in Kabul. But this is a Muslim country, and there's a stigma attached to drug addiction. So how does that affect treatment?
Opium is supposed to be haram or forbidden. I say supposed to be because that has been subject to interpretation by various mullah. Some of them say, well, it is only forbidden to use opium, not to actually cultivate it. Others say that it is really not forbidden for poor people. Of course, a lot of these mullahs happen to grow poppies themselves, so it's understandable that they would seek caveats. But addiction has become a problem there, and because of the stigma attached to the use of drugs, people who are addicted don't want to talk to their families about it, much less go to clinics. And only very recently have we seen clinics crop up in the cities and help people on a fairly large scale.
Well, we should say, you know, still, it's 8% of Afghans who are addicted. That's not 75%. Mm-hmm. But to those who feel that they are, you know, almost addicted to growing it, mm-hmm. you had this one interaction with a farmer, a father. And he says, look, the smugglers are the police. The Taliban are jackals. I only do this. I'm not on any side here. I only do this because I need the money. And yet he says it's a cancer on our country because what else would he do?
Yeah, I found that to be a real revealing conversation. It was with a poppy farmer in Helmand Province who was just walking out of the Marine compound where he'd picked up a bag full of seed that the Marines were distributing to farmers in hopes of moving them away from poppy. I think these were sorghum and maize seeds. And this farmer said to me, look, it's a fictitious notion that the West seems to have that the Taliban has put a gun to our heads. We're doing this for one reason and one reason only. We're impoverished. And furthermore, it's the way of our life here. I had asked him, well, how do you move this stuff out of you know, your farm and ultimately out of the country? And he said police cars. So the very policy that we have in place of clearing, holding, building, and transferring mean transferring the authority of these kinds of things to the Afghan police, the Afghan government, is akin to the fox guarding the hen house. But to me, the really, really poignant moment was when I said, well, then you know, maybe there's nothing wrong with growing poppy. Maybe we in the West shouldn't judge and you guys should be allowed to do this. And he said, actually, there is something wrong. And what's wrong about it is that it stagnates our country. We don't train our sons to be engineers or veterinarians or agronomers writ large. We train them only to grow poppy. And as such, it has kept us where we are, locked in a black market economy, and as such is a cancer on us.
Well, but have you seen areas where the idea of building other projects so there can be other jobs and there can be other industry has worked?
If there's a success story, Robin, it is in Nangarhar province where the city of Jalalabad is. And due to a very, very aggressive campaign and with the help of an intact tribal structure, opium production has pretty much ceased. But it's sort of remarkable when you go there and you see it and you see everybody growing these alternative crops. You notice two things. First, that people, as they talk to you about it, aren't making nearly as much money as they were when they were producing opium. And secondly, that we are spending billions of dollars there, and it gives rise to the question, is this Nangarhar province essentially a Potemkin village that has been propped up by Western
right.
aid? The farmers there were saying to me, oh, please, you guys can't leave. If you were to withdraw our funds, your aid now, then we wouldn't be able to survive on our own.
They've got a hydroelectrically powered textile mill set up by USAID. They've got a women's weaving co-op, a potato chip factory, a honey processing plant, a jam manufacturing facility. But as you say, it's all, you know, it's tons and tons of money.
Yeah, there's terrific entrepreneurship there, but it is all buttressed by aid from the West. And, you know, what one gentleman said to me was, you know, that we've been through 30 years of war. It's going to take, you know, maybe 80 years or so to help us recover from that. Now, that's just one province that we're spending a ton of money in. If we were to do the same in Helmand province, in Kandahar province, in Bagdas province, in all the provinces where poppy cultivation is taking place, it's an untenable amount of money. And, of course, you know, as President Obama likes had in mind when he indicated a withdrawal date from Afghanistan, it is not a politically sustainable thing. People in America are largely tired of Afghanistan, tired of spending so much money when we clearly have economic problems at home. And so the notion of continuing to prop up Afghanistan for decades and decades is a politically unfathomable one.
Well, and you come to the conclusion in talking to another Afghan official that the only way to eradicate the poppy crop is to eradicate corruption, because you have to get rid of those cops bribed by people with a stake in Afghanistan staying in opium haven. He even says, you know, I could form a private company and I could take some of this American money and I could go out and try to show people how to do something else, but they just won't believe me. They'll think I'm a corrupt official.
To say the corruption is systemic in Afghanistan doesn't even quite cover it. It is endemic on every single level of government, and this means a lot of things. It means, for one thing, that as one alleged drug lord said to me, there's no way any drug lord can flourish in Afghanistan without the help of politicians. When you have President Hamid Karzai, when his brother allegedly is the person in control of drug operations in the province of Kandahar, you know that you don't have too much of a sympathetic ear when it comes to corruption. But this also, you know, operates on another level, and that's that farmers hear of these Western organizations pumping billions of dollars into their economy in an effort to pull them away from poppy, and they don't see very much of the money. Instead, they see these fancy buildings in Kandahar and elsewhere that a lot of the politicians have, and it just contributes to cynicism, not only as regards their government, but as regards our presence there.
That's Robert Draper of the National Geographic. We'll link you to his story about the opium wars in Afghanistan at hereandnow.org, along with the pictures taken by David Guttenfelder. Robert, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Robin.